Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Orr Building on the Illinois State Fairgrounds, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of August, 2015. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at what's been happening on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour with Chip Flory, get an update of the cash grain market with the folks out at the Andersons facility here in Champaign County, and hear about the latest weather conditions across the Midwest from meteorologist Mark Russo at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, live from the Illinois State Fair.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they are trading and have finished up in Chicago, depending on which pit they happen to be in. September corn is down 0.75 cents. It finished up at $3.63 1/4. December contract also lower, down 1 at $3.74 1/2. And the March at $3.86, down a penny. May futures at $3.92 1/4, down 1 and 3/4. And the July at $3.97, down 2. December unchanged today at $3.98 3/4. From the soy complex, bean futures up 1 3/4 higher at $9.27. November at $9.17 up 1/2. And January at $9.22 1/4 up 1/4. March $9.22 3/4 higher. And the May futures at $9.21 1/2 cent higher. July soybeans up 1/2 at $9.24 1/2. November beans at $9.01 1/4. Bean meal futures up 20 cents at $3.25.40 in the September. Bean oil in the September down 2 at $29.06. A soft red winter wheat in the July contract 6 cents lower at $5.50. December at $5.04 1/2, down 7 and a quarter. And July of next year at $5.16 1/4, down 7 and a quarter cents. The hard red July at $5.35 1/2, down 8. Live cattle futures are continuing to trade. They're down 52 1/2 cents. In the nearby August at $147.92 1/2. October, really your lead option now at $147.67 1/2, up 82 1/2 cents. August feeders at $214.50 up 60. September down 45 at $209.07 1/2. And lean hogs for the day in the October up $1.17 1/2 at $66.50. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're coming to you from the State Fair.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's check some of the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil, September contract at $41.95 a barrel, down 54 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.47 4/10. That's up 0.4 cents. And gasoline for the day at $1.65 1/2, down 0.3 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.55 7/10, just about unchanged. And natural gas on the day, $2.73 3/10, up 6 or rather down 6 8/10 cents. Dow Jones Industrial Average 54 points higher at 17,494. The U.S. dollar at 96.82 is up 0.28. And the U.S. dollar for the day is, or rather gold futures for the day, are trading at $1,117.50 per troy ounce. They're up $5.10. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy tonight. Around a 67-degree low, south winds at about 6 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, 50% chance of showers, some thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a high of 83. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mostly cloudy, and a low of 69 on a north wind. It'll gust to 15. The chance of rainfall on Tuesday night set at 60%. That will continue through the day on Wednesday under mostly cloudy skies and a high of just 77 degrees. More on the weather forecast, and we talk with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies at the bottom of this half hour. This is Illinois Public Media.
This Stock and Commodity Report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the Internet at batescom.net.
Live from the Illinois State Fair in the Orr Building, we're on the stage at this point as it was Friday. The fashion show continues, and those in 4-H projects that have created their own clothing have been taking the stage all afternoon long, and you'll hear them applause from time to time. Many projects here for 4-H. This is the time when those local winners at the county level have been moving forward, and now they're seeing how they stack up against their peers across the state of Illinois. 4-H, of course, the largest youth group on the planet, and they are involved in almost everything. Agriculture is taking center stage at the Illinois State Fair this year. The Orr Building is filled with not only agricultural projects, but projects of all types. Now let's turn our attention to the marketplace. Kirk Kimmel is here. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kirk. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the marketplace as it continues to trade and what kinds of things you've been following on Twitter from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour.
Well, as far as market reaction, kind of back to square one, corn down one, beans, you know, stay a little higher. I guess there was a little bit of news for everybody. Commodity funds were the sellers on the day. They going into the noon hour, they were all sold about 1,000 beans, about, you know, 2,000 corn and 2,000 wheat. So, you know, overall, I think the market's still waiting for some type of market news to give us some direction. As far as the crop tour goes, variability continued to be the theme. In the eastern belt, they found corn yields anywhere from 46 to 188 bushels to the acre. As expected, Ohio and portions of Indiana were on the light side. In the western belt, a little bit more consistency in Nebraska. South Dakota, corn yield 102 to 180. Overall average is a little higher. Pod count a little higher than average. So it continues to support the idea that the West is going to try to make up for what we're losing here in the East. Corn stages, you know, some dough and some dent stage as far as their observation goes. We'll have some more totals here this evening as they total everything up and put it out on their website. But for the most part, you know, the trade will be anxious waiting. More reports here as we go into tomorrow, Todd.
Your expectations for the crop progress report to be released in a few minutes, 3 o'clock Central Time from USDA this afternoon?
Well, that's a good question. It's going to show a little bit of, you know, a dryness in some areas. There is some storm activity taking place. And those on the tour did get wet here in the west, so they were walking around in wet jeans most of the day. But, you know, I would think that we'll see anywhere from 1% to 2% deterioration out of the good to excellent category. But typically this time of year, as the plant starts to shut down in some areas, you start to see a seasonal decline in the crop ratings. Probably what would be a little bit more important would be the moisture event here in the next 2 days to see if this dry area gets a little bit of precip to help out some of these beans here. They still have a little bit of time for them to develop yet, Todd.
What do you think that producers can, should, might do at this point, if anything at all?
Well, they're going to do what they want to do at this point in time. There's several things on grain marketing taking place. One is that those that still have some old crop inventory needing to move it before a new crop harvest takes place. If you're in that situation, we recommend moving that and replacing the ownership on paper for the longer term seasonal up into December. You know, as far as any additional new crop sales and so forth, I think guys are going to sit on things to wait and see what happens here as we go into fall. A lot of storage has been put up here this last year, so I think the basis is going to start to firm up in through here and do its seasonal up into year end. So there's several things in through here that warrant being patient, having some re-ownership on the books in through here as we start to get into harvest and see what type of actual yield we see as a whole.
Have your end-user livestock producers been interested in making any purchases?
Well, that's the thing. I think they need to, end-user needs to start gathering some inventory here, especially in these wide basis areas, start locking or booking that. Main thing is the meal is going to get tight here as we kind of wait for new crop bean harvest to take place. End-user crushers still traveling all over to try to gather beans from crush. We did have a huge crush. Nopa crush came in 145 million bushels. That's about 3 to 4 million bushels above expectation. We have plenty of oil stock, but the meal situation continues to be watched fairly closely in through here. And, you know, as far as livestock prices, we did see the hogs kind of stabilize in through here. We're kind of testing the upper end of the range in through here. If we can take these Octobers above at 67.5, we'll take them right towards 70. But when you look at the overall hog kill and the question on demand, the hog rallies in through here need to be sold if we do reach those objectives there.
You're right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We do appreciate it.
Well, have a good day at the fair.
Oh, you have a good day there, too. Thanks so much. That, of course, is Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. We are coming to you live from the Illinois State Fairgrounds here in Springfield. If you get the opportunity, do come out to the fair. It runs through the weekend each and every day, and go to the Illinois State Fair website. You can find all the details about what's happening in the grandstand each and every night, some really great events, and of course visit all the projects that 4-H'ers are doing. Not only in the ore building, but, of course, over in the junior livestock building. If you want to see some livestock come in the next day or two, you'll see cattle and sheep and hogs, the horses as well. It's a great place to come in Springfield, Illinois, for the Illinois State Fair. I caught up with Chip Flory, as you just heard. I talked to him a bit earlier in the day, and we now have his report. He comes to us from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour.
Yeah, right now we're in Allen, Nebraska, which is up in northeast Nebraska. Made our way from Sioux Falls down here, making our way over to Grand Island. You know, the one thing that I want to stress that we're seeing in South Dakota in particular was more consistency in the crop than I think I've seen in a lot of years up here in Dodd. Good 150, 160 bushel corn. That's dryland corn in South Dakota. And when you can do that, you know, it's there's some good corn up here. There's no question about it. But, you know, that's what we expected to see. Everybody's been from this part of the world has been telling us all spring that, yeah, it's not that they haven't had some issues with the crop up here, but for the most part, it looks really good. A little bit of disease in the corn, I don't think it's anything to be too concerned about, because the corn that we've stopped in was very late dough, and even a few kernels are starting to dent already on the ears. And when you get to that point this early in the season up here, Todd, you know, it's and then give it a drink of water. You know, it's not going to help it that much, but it's not going to tip it back anymore. So it's really in pretty good shape up in South Dakota. And then the beans, just there's weed pressure, of course, but the beans look really good. They're not overly tall, but boy, they're loaded with pods. They are loaded with pods.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll check in again with you tomorrow.
Sounds good, bud. Thanks, man.
Chip Floria, of course, is leading the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. We'll check in with him and Matt Bennett each day of this week. Matt will join us on Commodity Week, and Brian Grady, who's on the eastern leg, will catch up with us on Friday afternoon during the closing market report. Now let's check and see what USDA had to say about some of the rest of the numbers and how Darryl Good has been explaining some of the corn figures. He's wondering whether or not the corn crop and his forecast will get smaller like many farmers. And Darryl took that up in today's Farm Doc Daily report. He says the corn production forecast for the 2015-16 marketing year for consumption released last week pointed to another year of ample corn supplies, and the midpoint of the marketing year average price projection, of course, is $3.65. From the corn producer's viewpoint, Darryl says the question is whether these projections will change enough to result in higher corn prices than currently forecast and currently reflected in the futures market.
Prospects for year-ending stocks to be smaller than the current projection of 1.7 billion bushels could come from a smaller production forecast or from a larger consumption forecast. For now, the FSA monthly reports of planted and prevented acreage will be monitored to form expectations about likely changes in NAS acreage estimates. The first of those reports was released on August 17th, with producers reporting 83.1 million acres planted to corn. That compares to the current NAS estimate of 88.9 million. The FSA acreage figure will grow as acreage reporting and processing is completed, but the final figure will be less than the final NAS estimates since not all producers are required to report acreage to the FSA. Today's report indicated that 2.3 million prevented corn acres had been certified so far in 2015. That compares to 1.5 million acres reported in August last year and the final 2014 report of 1.6 million prevented corn acres. The magnitude of prevented plantings reported so far this year does not point to a substantial decline in the NAS estimate of planted acres of corn. It is possible, however, that the NAS forecast of corn acreage harvested for grain will be lower. The current forecast of the difference between planted and harvested acres is 7.8 million, which is only 300,000 acres larger than the previous average from 1996 to 2014.
So let me summarize and put that in a short form. Darryl Good does not think corn acres will change even with the prevent plant.
The NAS August forecast of the 2015 U.S. average corn yield of 168.8 bushels is about 4 bushels above the average trade guess. History suggests that the forecast will change in subsequent crop production reports by enough to alter the expectations of year-ending stocks. In the 40 years from 1975 through 2014, the yield forecast changed by less than 2 bushels through the August to November forecast cycle in only 5 years. Since the August forecast was higher than expected this year, many have argued that subsequent forecasts will be lower. Looking specifically at the change in the yield forecast from August to September, the forecast has declined in 19 of the previous 40 years. The decline exceeded 1 bushel in 14 of those years and exceeded 2 bushels in 9 years.
So just to clarify, in the previous 40 years, from the August to the September crop production report, a little less than half, 19 of them, decreased in total bushels per acre.
The NAS August corn yield forecast is based on a combination of producer surveys and field observation and assumes normal weather conditions for the remainder of the growing season. Generally speaking, August weather conditions this year are not expected to deviate from normal by enough to change yield expectations. The corn market will also form expectations in part from the USDA's weekly report of crop conditions. That report showed 70% of the crop in good or excellent condition as of August 9th. That percentage is not expected to increase as the crop matures, but declines might support expectations of a lower yield forecast in September. At this juncture, a case for a substantially lower USDA corn production forecast next month is difficult to make. That picture, however, could change a bit based on actual weather conditions and crop condition ratings over the next 3 weeks.
That, of course, is Darryl Good from the University of Illinois. He's an agricultural economist. You can read what he has to say about the markets on the Farm Doc Daily website. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, live here on the Illinois State Fairgrounds, coming from the Orr Building on the grounds where 4-H and 4-Hers are putting on a show. They've got projects throughout this building. Tomorrow is Ag Day, and it will be filled with not only folks from Extension and 4-H, but from all of the associations and all of those industries that are involved in agriculture across the state of Illinois. One of those industries is the Andersons, and we're now joined by those folks from the facilities there in Champaign County to take a look at the cash grain market. I'm not quite certain who I have on the phone. Good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. You've got Greg.
Oh, hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us today. Tell me about conditions on the ground and basis and how it's changed since USDA released those numbers last week.
Well, the mental condition of producers is it's not good. We're in a shock state of disbelief. It's hard to imagine, especially in Indiana and Ohio, places where we've got facilities, that the USDA came up with numbers as big as they did. Actually, in Illinois, we've been using a 170 number in our own internal projections, and the USDA came out with 172. So we're not too far off on the corn for the state of Illinois, but Indiana and Ohio are completely, we're way off. Somebody's way off. I don't know who it is. We'll find out. But I do know that if we don't get some rain this week, the bean number is too high as well. This week is shaping up as a very critical week for soybeans. We've had some areas that's gone a week to 10 days without rain, and with the warm weather last week, we could certainly use some rain this week, and we'd feel a lot better about our soybean prospects if we get some rain this week.
As you've talked to producers, have they mentioned that the corn crop seems to be turning and turning fairly early? Will that put a damper on what's already not great prospects in Illinois?
Yes. We were thinking internally that the third week of September would be maybe the somewhat official start of harvest, but now we think the second week of September, with this corn denting and ear starting to drop and the dry weather, it'll probably dry a little bit quicker, and we probably now will even see some corn the week of Labor Day. Not much, but I think for guys that have on-farm drying facilities, you'll see people taking corn out of the field that first week of September, and then I think a lot more people will get going the second week of September.
What does your fall basis for corn look like?
Well, we started out at 20 under a couple of months ago, and we are now at 14 under December. If it was based just off of our crop prospects to the west and the south, maybe the basis would be the same or weaker. But unfortunately for us, I guess we also draw from the north and the east, and that's where the yields have really been variable. I think that our east, we're going to be fairly aggressive and try to encourage producers with a better basis than what we've seen in the past.
And your bids for the day are?
Cash corn is 363, new corn 360, cash beans 952, new beans 897, and cash wheat 490.
Thanks so much.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Vanilla Custard Day. Vanilla was originally cultivated in the New World. The Spanish brought vanilla pods to Europe in the 1520s, but the effort proved unsuccessful. Little did the conquistadors know that it was a New World species of bee that pollinated the vanilla orchid. It was not until 1841 that it was discovered that the vanilla bean could be hand-pollinated, leading to the eventual global cultivation of the plant.
It's also St. Mammoth's Day, patron of shepherds. On this day in agricultural history, the balloon is celebrated. In 1859, the first airmail in the U.S. took off from Lafayette, Indiana, in a balloon. 119 years later, in 1978, the balloon Double Eagle II completed the first crossing of the Atlantic Ocean by balloon. The 3,100-mile flight took 6 days. The underside of the gondola was a twin-hulled catamaran in case the three-man team had to bail out over water. In 1906, Rutgers and the New Jersey Agricultural Experiment Station teamed up to hold the first Ag Field Day to let farmers become better acquainted with experiments that could benefit them. And in 1986, a bronze statue of a pig was dedicated at Seattle's Pike Place Market. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason here on the Illinois State Fairgrounds live from the Orr Building. Come by and visit us today and tomorrow if you'd like. Inside the Orr Building, we're just on the south end of that building, one of the few buildings on the fairgrounds that are air-conditioned. And on this day, that's a really good thing. Mark Russo, I think. Thanks so much for taking the time with us. You're with EarthRisk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Can you tell me about the weather forecast for the central part of the state of Illinois for the next 4 or 5 days, please?
Well, Todd, we're going to see more opportunities for precip, at least in those areas that have missed out over the past several weeks. Such as today, we're seeing some pop-up showers and thunderstorms, and this is the start of about a three-day window of unsettled conditions, numerous bands of rain tracking across the Corn Belt, and specifically here in Illinois, we see this as a very good opportunity for rainfall to improve those dry areas, which are primarily across the northern part of the state, but all in all, it looks like a really good opportunity for seeing significant precip. Thereafter, we do expect cooler and drier conditions for the second half of this week, but then that will then turn to yet another opportunity for rain and warmer temperatures next week as well.
All right, and then if you look forward to the next 2 weeks in the beginning of September, what do you see?
Well, we see quite a bit of variability in temperatures, but also with that opportunities or more opportunities for rain and more systems here working their way across the Corn Belt. So again, for areas, some of your driest acreage that you're seeing right now in Illinois of late, and adjacent areas of Iowa, Indiana, if you do happen to miss out on rainfall over the next 3 days, there will be opportunities not only next week, but even into the early part of September as well, we feel.
Do you have concerns still about other parts of the world? I'm thinking of France, parts of Europe, and maybe even China.
Yeah, our areas of concern right now has shifted a bit more so into the Black Sea region from Europe, at least temporarily. We've seen rainfall in Western Europe of late. This week, Eastern Europe is getting rainfall and some relief, but it's the Black Sea region, Ukraine and Russia, that stays on the dry side. And looking into next week, it does look like drier, warmer conditions will return to more of Europe. So still, Europe and Russia are areas to watch closely. Indonesia, Malaysia, in their palm areas, they've seen significant dryness return. And also India will be seeing suppressed monsoon rainfall here coming up as well. So outside of the U.S., there's certainly some areas of concern here. China is seeing some relief, so not as much concern specifically in your main corn and soybean growing areas of China.
Thanks so much, Mark, for taking the time with us. Mark Russo, of course, is with Earth Risk Technologies. I'm Todd Gleason at the Illinois State Fair.